Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Tuesday, hour two, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. So great, right? It's freezing in our studio this morning. So Skip Bayless likes, he likes like 12 degrees in here. So we walk in every morning and it's like Siberia. It's Anchorage. And then Joy and I, from warm weather places, like, you know, I spent a lot of years in Vegas, you in Miami, we like it warm.
Yeah, so I'm wearing a sweater today, but I also, unlike you, have a heated blanket.
I don't.
Every day, so. It's cold in L.A. today, though.
It was cold last night.
Yeah.
I went out to
dinner.
Unlike
cold, not like we're complaining cold. Like, it was legit cold. It was like 40 degrees.
Yeah, this is a shame. It had to be one day of the year. It wasn't perfect for us. So, you know, by the way, when I do the Herd hierarchy, as Goulet knows, I used to work at another place. Thankfully don't. And they would do a top 10 list every week. And it was just basically all the undefeated teams were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm like, those aren't the best teams. There's no context to it. Sometimes you get scheduling. So a lot of times teams will win. I'll move them down. Who'd you beat? How'd you beat them? Teams will lose. And I don't move them down. It's like, well, they lost an overtime game. So mine's not based on anything other than, like, when I watch them play, I kind of go, would this team beat that team, beat that team, beat that team? So with that, I present the Herd hierarchy.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
I moved the Raiders down after a win. If it wasn't for a bobble, they lose to the Chargers. Listen, they've won 3 of their last 4 games on the road. There's something to them. They beat Kansas City 13 straight games with 300-plus yards. Derek Carr, top 5 completion percentage. I like them. I think there's a way for them to win. I don't think they're good enough defensively. And I think as we get into Thanksgiving and beyond, defense becomes a much bigger deal. They're a good football team. I think there's a ceiling with them. I've seen them get rolled by Buffalo and Tampa at home. But I like them. I don't love them, but I like them. I thought if not for a bobble, they lose this past weekend. And, it's like Mark Schlereth said, when they do a little bully ball on offense, control it, they can win. But I see some cracks here, and I thought they were a little bit lucky this weekend.
Number 9.
I think the Dolphins would beat the Raiders today, this morning, if they played. I think their head coach is great. They've got 2 defensive touchdowns the last 2 weeks. That leads the NFL. I think they have a better defense than the Raiders. I think similarly they'll be very efficient at quarterback. I think they play as hard as anybody in the league. I mean, from special teams to defense, they got a lot of different ways they can score and beat you. I just like what Miami's doing. And I think if they played the Raiders over the next month, I think they'd give them fits. To go to Arizona and win that game in Tua's second start blew me away. Miami 9.
Number 8.
But I think they would lose to Tampa Bay. Let's not go crazy on Tampa Bay. Tampa would beat Miami because of their experience at quarterback. Tampa's got a reality now. They're really inconsistent, and they're a wild card team. And they're 0-2 against the Saints. That's their reality. Now, their defense has forced the most turnovers in the NFL and is tied for the most interceptions. But even their defense has been inconsistent. On their good days, they can beat anybody. And on their bad days, they're embarrassing. That's why I put them at number 8.
Number 7.
But I think the Seahawks would beat Tampa because, despite what I saw in Buffalo, Seattle had won their last 10 East Coast road trips. Here's Seattle's issue. They're bad against mobile quarterbacks, and Brady's not mobile. I think they'd beat Tampa. First team in NFL history to score and allow 23 points in 9 consecutive games. So their games are all shootouts. The Seahawks don't play a normal game, ever. All their games are whack. All of them. They're all crazy. Their defense has allowed 3 different quarterbacks to throw for 400-plus yards this year. It's all the mobile guys. But I do think with Carlos Dunlap on the defensive line and Jamal Adams, they will get better defensively. I think this game this week was weird. They had 2 big divisional rivals, the Niners and the Rams this week, and it was a sandwich game out east, and they played awful. But I think if they played Tampa, that has a pocket quarterback, they would win.
number 6.
But I think Buffalo would beat Seattle. How do I know? Because I just watched them. Buffalo's two teams. When John Brown is playing and healthy at wide receiver, they are a handful. When he's not, they're not as dangerous offensively. Josh Allen's playing well. They're on a 3-game winning streak. Let's be fair. They've only lost 2 games, Chiefs and Titans. They're good. I like their coach. The quarterback is good when he's got his full arsenal of people. That includes John Brown. Their defense isn't great. But again, I think good coaches elevate what you are. So if you're average defensively, can you be at least situationally okay on defense? I think Buffalo can.
Number 5.
You know, I could put the Saints number 1 after this weekend, so I don't want to overreact, but they aren't a 5-game winning streak. I thought their defense finally showed up. They have Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas back. And this is a big Vegas thing. Second best yardage differential in the NFL. So they've outgained their opponents by almost 650 yards. Vegas loves that. You know, basically, when you go into games, you win the yardage. If you do that over the course of a season, you win 10, 12 games. And you get, right now, they're a number 1 seed. So I don't want to overreact to it, but I love what I saw from their defense. I thought it was like, okay, and let's be honest about it. They've been all beat up at wide receiver for a month, so now they're healthy. It's a different looking team.
Number 4.
But listen, here's my thing with Green Bay. I know what they are in their good days. I know what they are in their bad days. But they usually have good days. So I think they're going to win 13 games. I think they're going to be the number 1 or 2 seed. I think Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams right now are the most lethal quarterback wide receiver combo in the league. I love Aaron Jones. There's so much I like about this team. I just don't think they're good in a phone booth. But I think a couple of the teams they don't match up well with are like Baltimore, Tennessee, you know, Pittsburgh. Oh, they're in the AFC. So I think a lot of the teams in the NFC, they do match up. I think they match up with the Saints fine. I think they match up with Seattle fine. So the teams I don't love how they match up with, the Niners are all beat up, and the other ones are in the AFC.
Number 3.
Ravens. You know, it's funny. Everybody's selling the Ravens stuff. I want to read you 2 things. 31 straight games, they scored over 20 points. It's the longest streak in the league. And you're all telling me how bad their offense is. And 21 consecutive games, they've had a takeaway. That's the longest streak in the NFL. We got to slow down on Baltimore. They give you 27 points a week minimum, and they take the ball away from you. Lamar was 10 for 10 against the Colts in the second half. They're not perfect offensively when throwing the ball, but they're fine. They lost to the Steelers by a play on a turnover-plagued afternoon. I still think Baltimore is one of the 3 best teams in the league.
Number 2.
Steelers. They drive me nuts, but they have the most sacks. Multiple touchdown passes for Big Ben. Everybody's close. They're too emotional for me. But I will say this. Just got a bunch of good players. They draft them well. They develop them. I've been critical of Mike Tomlin before. Sunday's why. That's why I stayed away from that bet. Everybody's like, you got to take the Steelers. No way am I taking the Steelers as a 2-touchdown favorite. But I will say this. There's only one great team in this league. Everybody else we can argue over. You're 8-0, I'll put you at 2.
Number 1.
I think they're their own category. Head coach, A+. Quarterback, A+. Weapons, A+. Defense, A-. Kansas City. There's nothing not to like. They play well from behind. They play well with a lead. They had a little bit of a hiccup and a shootout to the Raiders. I really like what they're doing with Mahomes. The average NFL quarterback throws 35 times a game. He's now throwing 30. So they're building a running game. They're protecting him. There's just nothing I don't like about them. That is, you know, it's funny. The last 20 years we had a dynasty that was efficient but kind of boring. They're the opposite. They can be efficient, but they're big play. I don't see a weakness. Once they start playing defense, injuries, that's it. Chidi gets hurt. Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. Travis Kelce, it's a problem. Right now, best team in the league. And then there's 9 other good teams that probably on their best day couldn't beat them. There you go. Joy, any arguments?
I think I would move the Saints up on Green Bay just because.
I thought about that.
I don't like Green Bay's run defense
at all. No, I mean, that's totally fair. I didn't want to overreact to Sunday.
Yeah, no. It's understandable. But I like it.
By the way,
that's the only switch I would make.
Did the Packers beat the Saints? Yeah, they did, didn't they? I didn't even count for that.
But that's not what we're doing. That's not how the hierarky works.
I mean, listen, Buffalo, I put them 1 spot ahead of Seattle. It wasn't just the game. It's that Seattle is too dependent
on Russell Wilson,
whereas I felt like Buffalo had other options beyond Josh Allen.
So there you go. There. I feel.
I like seeing the Dolphins up there.
Today, Dolphins play Raiders. I take the Dolphins. We're getting in. We're November now. It's November. Defense matters.
Yes.
Keep your eye. This will become a big thing. Health. Like, for instance, Seattle is 7. Let's be honest about it. If Seattle's running backs are healthy, if Chris Carson is healthy.
That's a big if with them.
I know, it's a big if. But if they are, I could put Seattle in the top 3 or 4 and feel great about. When Seattle goes into a game and they're all banged up at running back, which is sort of like every week, I don't like him as much because they become totally dependent on Russell Wilson.
I do agree with your point about Green Bay, though, because they don't match up well with physical teams.
But they're all out east. They're all in the AFC.
Yeah, they're all in the AFC now.
And it used to be San Francisco. Okay, they're not a factor. So all the teams that are roadblocks for Green Bay are either in the AFC or like
– that are going to be in the playoffs, yeah.
Right. But I don't think L.A. Rams is a bad matchup.
Like
I don't
Green Bay-Seattle play right now, you're taking Green Bay.
It's it depends on if Seattle's running backs are healthy, Seattle. They're not, I take Green Bay. Can Seattle, when their running backs are healthy, they're a physical team. When they're not, they become a finesse team. It's like Russell run. They become Arizona. Seattle is Arizona when the running backs aren't healthy. And Arizona's not going to beat Green Bay in a shootout.
Right.
But when Seattle's running backs are healthy, they're more like a little more like Baltimore.
Well, I mean, that's also the weakness of Green Bay.
Yeah.
So.
All right, a lot of things. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a Jet. Sam Darnold, they're moving off him. Thoughts about that? Albert Breer coming up next as well.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Thursday, division rivals square off as the Colts and Titans battle for first place in the AFC South. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Prime Video.
That's a pretty interesting game, actually.
Big game.
Yeah. That division's always been weird. Just weird. Senior NFL reporter, Monday Morning Quarterback. We bring him on, try to every week. He's got all sorts of insights. Albert Breer is now joining us live. You know, I said this to start our show today. When Brady left New England, I was shocked. Now, a lot of you guys that are on the inside weren't. The house was for sale, all that stuff. But I think a lot of us were like, Tom's a system guy. He loves it. It's very much about, you know, the grind, and he's a grind guy. And yeah. I look at Bill Belichick, and as much as he's great, Pete Carroll was fired twice when he couldn't get a quarterback. Couldn't win in Seattle pre-Russell Wilson. Belichick's won 43% of his games. And I don't see a solution, Albert, at quarterback. They're not going to run back Cam. They're now out of the running for the top 3 quarterbacks and probably Zach Wilson at BYU if you look at their draft spot today, and they're going to beat the Jets again. And I say to myself, Jacksonville would give him everything. They'd give Bill the GM. They'd give him the coach. Old guys like to go to Florida.
Yeah.
The Chargers, by the way. Chargers, Albert, cannot sell tickets in L.A. You got LeBron, Kawhi, the Rams, USC, and I think you can't win in this league if you don't have the right quarterback. Even Belichick can't. And I think to myself, what's the solution, Albert, this morning at quarterback for New England? I don't see it.
I don't know. I think you have to give it a go with Cam over the next 7 weeks, see what happens. I think they very much are going to give him the chance to hold on to that job. We'll see what happens. Obviously, they've had to change their system quite a bit. But you're right. There's a lot of uncertainty past that. They obviously don't have him signed past this year. I think we would have seen more of Jared Stidham by now if they really had any sort of belief left in him. And so then you look out at the veteran market. Maybe somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo comes available. Maybe they look at Jacoby Brissett, who's going to be a free agent out of Indianapolis, has background in their system, as somebody who could be a bridge option for them. But other than that, I mean, you really are looking at the draft. And the one thing that is, I think, nice for some teams about the draft now, I think coming into the year, this was like a 2+1 draft class, right? Like at that position, it was Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and maybe Trey Lance. Now I think you've got maybe as many as 6 quarterbacks that could go in the top 50 picks. Those 3 guys, Zach Wilson from BYU, like you mentioned, Kyle Trask from Florida, Mac Jones from Alabama, all could be first or second round picks. And so I think right now they've got to just sort of keep their options open. I know I was an advocate for signing Cam to maybe a 3 or 4 year deal, and I still don't think that's off the table if he starts to play better. But you're right. The future is very uncertain at that position for them. And without the quarterback in the NFL, like you said, you're nowhere.
You know, it's interesting. I noticed this. I didn't think it was a coincidence. When LeBron arrived for the Lakers, suddenly the Clippers went out and got two stars. The Rams started signing big free agents. The Dodgers finally spent big money, Mookie Betts. It's like, okay, it's a competitive, distracted, deep sports market in L.A. LeBron moves in. You want to get in the L.A. Times? You want to get on talk radio? You got to go get stars. And so I look at New York, and how do you catch up if you're the Nets to the Knicks? Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. And I look at the Jets. They're dead in New York. How do you catch up to the Giants? Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. I think some of this, Albert, feels like a business move, and Joe Douglas, the GM's not going to have much of a say. Like, is that crazy?
Well, I think it would be valid if Trevor Lawrence wasn't this otherworldly prospect. And, you know, I think I've said this to you before, and I think sometimes people get this part mixed up, right? Like, this isn't we talk about somebody this way every year kind of guy. This is John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence. This is a once-in-a-decade type of prospect. And so I think there's that, of course. It's a huge factor here. The other thing, Colin, is are you sure about Sam Darnold? Because you're going to have to make a $25 to $30 million decision on him in May if you are going forward with him as the quarterback, and you'd be locking yourself into him for the next 2 years. And so I think from a football standpoint, it would make all the sense in the world. I think it'd almost be malpractice not to take Trevor Lawrence. But you are right. Like, it would help on the marquee having Trevor Lawrence to sell yourself in New York. And by the way, if they are going to be looking for a new coach, which seems like a distinct possibility right now, they're going to be competing with some franchises that aren't complete dumpster fires. Like, I don't view Atlanta as that bad a franchise. I don't view Houston as that bad a franchise. And so if they're in competition for some coaching candidates, what better lure would there be out there than having a 21-year-old kid like Trevor Lawrence to build around?
You know, so I watched Kyler against Tua. I said it was probably the most entertaining football game I've seen so far. You've got a lot of sources around the league. Kyler's officially a hit. It works. There's no arguing now.
Yep.
Kyler works in the NFL. Herbert, Burrow, it's working. Tua was the one where, like, I don't know. But I tell you what, if you look at the history of the NFL, Albert, quarterbacks that are good with defensive coaches win a lot of these Super Bowls. And I looked at Flores and Tua. I got to be honest with you. What are you hearing around the league? Because I watched that and I thought, boy, this is interesting.
It's really interesting you bring that up, Colin, because if you look at Russell Wilson in Seattle and you look at Tom Brady in New England playing for defensive coaches, right? What's the thing they have in common? When they were young in their careers, those teams were built where those guys didn't have the weight of the world on their shoulders. They didn't have to throw for a million yards because those teams were built a different way. What does it look like Tua has in Miami? Like, they don't need him to throw for 300 yards every week. In fact, his first start, the defense scored a touchdown, set up another one, and they scored a touchdown on special teams. And so I think some of the sensibilities of defensive coaches lead them to build teams that way. And that can actually help your young quarterback more than having a great receiver or a great tight end for them to throw to, just because mentally they go in the game knowing, I just got to do my job and we're going to be okay. So I think that that's a part of it. And as for Tua specifically, you know, I was talking to a couple Dolphin staffers on Sunday night, and I think there were some interesting things that came from those conversations. Number one, they really liked how he adjusted on the fly. They lost a tight end, Durham Smythe, and a receiver, Preston Williams, in game. They really, really liked the way that he adjusted as things went on and was able to kind of roll with the punches there. And one of the guys that I talked to just kind of put it this way to me on how he performed down the stretch. It was came down to three words. He's a winner. They already see that just half a season into his NFL career.
Yeah, well, that's what Saban said. He's a winner. Not ideal size, not a huge arm, not the cagiest runner. He's a winner. So, you know, you look at – I saw a story the other day. It may have been by Ben Volen. He said, you know, Brady – I thought the Tampa offensive game plan was weird. So Tom generally likes – he likes to get his completions in. He likes to get into a little bit of a rhythm. Then he can go over the top. Tampa came in and just low percentage deep throws. And Tom – and I was like, this is just not Tom. And listen, Arians – called him out a little, and Ben Volen's article says, is there a power struggle? What do you make when you watch that performance? It's beyond losing. It feels like, are there disconnecting points here, Arian style, Tom style at all?
I think there were probably a couple things that were like, I actually was encouraged with what we had seen over the weeks previous to this one. So, you know, I don't want to make sweeping conclusions based on what was a really, really bad Sunday night for them against the Saints. In fact, I think we saw some things that were encouraging just as far as Brady's willingness to go down the field. Obviously, Bruce Arians' offense has always been conducive to that sort of thing. So we saw that. I think one thing that's interesting about this one, though, is what happens when you're playing from behind, right? Like, Brady's always liked to sort of spread the ball around. He's liked to have control of things. He isn't the type of quarterback who's going to try and get everything back in one throw. And I think playing from behind can kind of stress coaches and quarterbacks in different ways. And so, you know, I think now this kind of puts them at an interesting crossroads because now they've seen it. What happens when things go awry? They've got to decide who they are in those spots. And so I think that that's where you saw a little bit of that disconnect. Whereas when you're up by three touchdowns, it's easy to go down the field, right? Like, hey, let's try this and see if it works. If it doesn't, no big deal. It's a lot different when you're playing from behind. And so you would hope at least that now guys like Tom Brady, Clyde Christensen, Tom Moore, and Bruce Arians can go back and look at that and say, we really got to figure out who we want to be in those sorts of spots because it wasn't working on Sunday night.
Yeah. Okay, if we all acknowledge Kansas City's the best team in the league, a quarterback, a coach, I think their defense is playing at an A level, A weapons. Who is your second best team in the NFL this morning?
I still think it's Pittsburgh. I put Pittsburgh number one in my power rankings because they're undefeated. But I still think it would probably be the Steelers just because they're more complete than they have been. And I do think there's a ceiling there. I think that there's like they've got a ways to go before they're really hitting on full throttle. And one of the reasons why I still think there's another gear they can hit with those young receivers. And it looks like they've got three really good ones.
Yeah.
Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson, and obviously the rookie Chase Claypool. And so really good defense. It looks like they've got the defense fixed. The running game's working. And now I think there's even another level that they can reach with those three young receivers. They haven't gotten there yet. But I do think that there's the room to grow there where they can grow a little bit more. And I think when it comes to kind of ranking these teams and stacking them and competing for championships, it's about who has the least flaws. And I look at the Steelers roster, and I just don't see a whole lot of holes. Devin Bush might have created one at linebacker, but Vince Williams is a really good player in there for him, and they were able to trade for Avery Williamson. So I think they're the second most complete team and the second best team in the league behind the Chiefs.
Albert Breer, good talking to you as always. Monday morning quarterback. Thanks, man.
Awesome. Thanks, Colin.
You know, we were talking about the Jets and Trevor Lawrence, and his point is, listen, when you get an Elway or an Andrew Luck, like you're Peyton Manning, like just at some point, if you're a general manager, I said this with LeBron, and I feel like this, and this happens maybe once a decade in the NBA and once or twice a decade in the NFL. If you're a general manager, you draft a guy to protect your legacy. Like a lot of people like Carmelo Anthony. You draft LeBron, and if he doesn't go, you won't be stained forever. Like if you draft Carmelo and LeBron becomes great, even if Melo's great, nobody thought that Melo had the ceiling of LeBron. Like with Trevor Lawrence, and I like Sam Darnold, he'll end up with the Colts or the 49ers in Atlanta. He'll end up somewhere in a better spot, right? But you have to protect yourself sometimes. Just don't outthink the room. I see Cliff Kingsbury, I love him, but he outthinks the room so often. It's fourth and one. Give the ball to Kyler. Stop giving it to running backs. Give it to Kyler. Sometimes you just, in life, don't outthink the room. The obvious stuff, and it's very, most of life, you know, there's one or two things just do. Spend less than you make. Treat others like you'd like to be treated. Be very wary of pushing back too much on authority. You know, authority likes to fire people. So there's certain basic rules in society you kind of know. The rest we can argue about. If you get a Trevor Lawrence, you get a LeBron James, you get an Andrew Luck, just take it. Like, it's over. Like, just take it. You're protecting yourself. Because the owner in New York, he wants Trevor Lawrence. And so they're going to take him, regardless of what Joe Douglas wants. They're going to take Trevor Lawrence. And it, by the way, that would be one of the rare instances as a GM or a coach, I'd be like, okay, yeah, you're probably doing me a favor taking it off the table. He's just too good. We've been talking about this kid for 3 years. Last year, one of ESPN's draft experts came out and said, oh, he struggled against LSU. And I went on the air and mocked that person. He got mad at me. My take was, stop. That's a bad topic. Like, he's number one. He could literally rip his leg up tomorrow, and as long as he could rehab, he'd still be number one. Like, he's number one. Let's just, it's LeBron. You get once a decade, a sport, not a team, a sport gets this. You take him. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Staying with those Jets, not the prettiest game
last night. So bad.
But interesting. Interesting. Can't argue interesting. Joe Flacco.
What was that?
Had some moments.
What was that big throw late? You're like, what are you doing?
Well, I didn't say they were all good moments.
I like New England coming down the field with screens. They're running these little short screens, and they're all getting 15 yards.
Well, the Patriots won 30-27, despite the Jets having a 10-point lead midway through the fourth quarter. Fell apart for the Jets. Patriots got a field goal. As you mentioned, Joe Flacco threw an inexplicable deep pass that was intercepted, and then Cam Newton led the Patriots on a scoring drive to tie it. Jets quickly went very strange three and out. And the Patriots went on to win it on a walk-off field goal. The Jets are currently 0-9 and hold the first pick in the 2021 draft. You know, watching the end of that game, I felt good for Cam Newton. I don't think it matters to the Patriots, really, because the Patriots are not a good team. Right. But I felt good for Cam Newton, especially after the way that the Bills game ended. He's been struggling. But I also feel really bad for these Jets players. Like, they're 0-9. That's a game that, as players, we know the organization's tanking, right?
Yeah.
But players and coaches don't tank.
Right.
The only time the coach will be tanking is they're really not tanking, they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
And that's when they're in a very secure situation.
And they want a quarterback.
Yeah. The front office and the coach are on the same page. We're going to trade off these players.
Only do it in football for a quarterback. You don't do it for Khalil Mack. You wouldn't do it for Randy Moss. You do it for a quarterback.
No, but like, look at the Dolphins last year, right? It's like tank for Tua. They were clearly rebuilding.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a complete tank. Like, they played hard. Brian Flores was building a culture. They clearly had a similar to what the Giants are doing this year, and they're not tanking, but they're in a rebuild. Like, you want to get better every week. You want to show signs of life and fight. That's not what the Jets are doing. They're clearly tanking, but players don't tank. They don't.
Yeah.
They do not tank. Adam Gase is not tanking. He's probably not going to be there next season, and what he's putting on tape right now is not good for his future. And neither is it for Jets players. So I feel bad. Like, I've been around a team that was almost 0-16 with the Dolphins. And that is a miserable existence. So I did feel bad for the Jets players, because that felt like a game they could win, despite it being obviously a really hideous football game.
Yeah.
And but the tank is still alive. So Jets fans are happy.
Yeah.
And the front office
is
happy.
Loss. Yeah.
It's a good loss if you're a fan or the front office. So Bruce Arians showed early in the season he's not afraid to publicly criticize Tom Brady. And he seems to be at it again after a loss to the Saints.
With him being the best receiver on this team, why isn't Byron making a more concerted effort of getting Mike involved in the passing game earlier?
Mike was open a bunch in that ball game. He just didn't get targeted. That's all. He was open. Mike was open.
He had six targets.
Yeah, I know, but I felt this too. I felt like they were trying too hard to get it to AB. Like, this is the downside to superstars. I felt like this is the OBJ thing. Like, you know, it's not that Landry doesn't get targets and stuff, but I felt like, okay, Antonio Brown's been there 3 days. Mike Evans has been there 4 years. Mike Evans should get 12 targets a game minimum.
Yeah. Antonio Brown should be an absolute compliment to what they already have going on.
It didn't feel like that in the first three series.
I mean, this whole game was weird. It had five rushes all game, and one was a kneel down.
It was just
absurd.
It did. You know, it goes back to what we said yesterday. Take me somewhere. What are you trying to do with your football? You can tell in the first two series of the game, this is what they saw on film. Tell me after the first five series of Tampa what they were trying to do. It's just a bunch of weird, low percentage throws. That's the opposite of Brady's skill set. Such a weird, it was a no game plan.
It was on top of them getting blown out, which you obviously never want to do. It was just a really bad loss. Like, they needed to win that game.
Well, they're a wild card team now.
Yes.
That's what they are.
And,
period.
And so to not only lose that game and now be a wild card team, You lost in that fashion. So you've lost twice to the Saints now. They have ultimate confidence if you meet again.
Yeah.
It's just, it was just a really weird game plan. So as far as him criticizing Brady, sure, I guess you could say in a way he's criticizing Brady more. He's criticizing Byron Leftwich, but it just felt like a forced situation all around. Like, it was not a well-rounded game plan to begin with. Carson Wentz has made it clear before the Eagles week 9 bye that he is going to continue to play aggressively and that his team is prepared to live with his high-risk approach. He was asked about his mental approach when it comes to deciding whether or not to give up on the play or continue to make something out of nothing.
It's a fine line that I'll be walking, you know, and probably never have solved fully my whole career. You know, I think that's just the nature of who I am and the player I am and how we play and how we do things around here.
Well, they're 3-4-1 this season. He's 58.4 completion percentage, 1,833 yards, 12 passing touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. Not his best season so far. They have had a ton of injuries, but he himself has also had a lot of injuries. And talking about his kind of reckless style of play, he had a concussion in this year.
He is reckless. He and Darnold are reckless.
Fractured back, ACL, LCL tear, chest and rib fracture, a hand and wrist fracture.
Deshaun Watson's not reckless. He just runs around and gets hurt. Darnold and Wentz sometimes forget their quarterbacks. They're like, I'm a linebacker. It's like, no. You don't have, like, Kyler Murray.
Just because you're the same size.
I know.
The other guy that's about to tackle you does not mean that you are the one who should be taking that hit.
It's almost like, no, everybody likes a tough guy. But if you're married to a tough guy, at 42 years old, you're over bar fights. Like, it's great to have a man and an alpha, but like Carson Wentz and Darnold, don't run over people. That's your $4 billion franchises.
I mean, it's just, there's a time and place for everything, right?
Right.
There's a time when you're on the goal line. And
yes.
It's a huge play in a huge game.
Cam
a huge
last
moment,
night. Get in there.
And you just
boom.
Bulldoze someone.
But not.
But a random like play in the second quarter of a regular season game. Just get down.
2 weeks ago, Darnold against the Chiefs runs right down the middle of the field and gets smoked. Sam, to blow up, roll, slide. Like, what are you doing? So it's whatever it is, don't get it. Wentz does this. It's like, you guys, these are $4 billion franchises. They can't win without you. Learn to slide.
I just, some things I think you just can't get away from. To his point, like, that's just his nature.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a sustainable style of play.
Neither do I. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
You know, Herd Line.
And some
news.
Of this is Carson Wentz grew up in hunting territory. He's a man's man. He was in New Jersey. He was literally hunting by the interstate. Somebody found him like duck hunting. Sam Darnold was a linebacker in high school. It is their nature. They're not these like, you know, they're not these like finesse quarterbacks. And, you know, Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson played baseball, which is sliding. Nobody's getting tackled. So Wentz and Darnold, they're just physical dudes. They like to get smoked.
If I need you to go, you know, tackle that venison and,
right,
you know.
But you know who doesn't like to get tackled? Mahomes played baseball. Kyler played baseball. Russell Wilson played baseball. Baseball players don't like getting tackled. They get mad if you knock them out at second base too hard. So it's like the baseball quarterback thing.
Yeah.
The mindset is I've been sliding my whole life to avoid getting hit. You get these. You get some of these guys like Andrew Luck. I remember one time he said, I love getting the first big hit. I'm like, nope, not the right answer.
But that's great. Like, you don't want a soft quarterback.
No.
You want somebody who can take a hit and get back up. But that's not the position. Like, if you're getting hit, that's actually a bad thing.
Take a hit and seek a hit are two different things.
Yes.
Sam Darnold, sometimes I'm like, Sam, this is not Oceanside High School. You're not playing linebacker. Get down. But I think also when you're a 6'4 guy and you weigh 230 pounds and you walk around America and you're much bigger than the average guy and you're lifting weights all day and you're alpha, you just kind of forget in the moment, oh, they're all bigger than me.
Well, sometimes they're not bigger, but just the defense is meant to hit you.
Right.
Like, it's not the position that you play.
By the way, why the NFL is in incredible shape going forward, and I was reminded of that and what they've really done that the NBA used to do well, but I don't think does as well as they used to. And the NFL's taken over this category, and that's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
CarShield.com, code is HERD. Get 10% off when your warranty runs out. Don't let it freak you out when the check engine light comes on. CarShield.com, code HERD, a deductible may apply.
So when I was a kid, the NFL was always about the shield. You know, it was like the NBA had stars. The first star I saw was Wilt Chamberlain. First game I ever watched, I was on a bunk bed as a kid in small Grayland, Washington, and I saw a Blazer-Laker game. Brent Musburger was doing it. I'm not joking. Not to show his age, but, you know, well, I'm old too. So Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West played. And then I fell in love with Dr. J. And then it was Bird and Magic. Then it was Jordan. Then it was Shaq and Kobe. And there was the Reggie Millers and guys who aren't quite that good but are fascinating. The Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen. So the NBA has always lured me in, not necessarily for urgency. I mean, there's 82 regular season games. I cannot watch most games and be okay. But it lured me in because of stars and style. Dr. J didn't play anything like Michael. Bill Walton didn't play anything like Kareem. Wilt didn't play anything like Akeem. Shaq was his own persona and style. So the NBA has always sucked me in because you have all these kind of unique artists and these styles and these stars. Again, I don't watch it because of urgency. I would watch the NFL as a kid more and as I've grown up because the games matter more. There's few of them, right? But I think the NFL, and they may have just kind of lucked into this. I'm not saying they get a ton of credit for it. But it's really turned. And I was thinking this morning, I wrote a list down. Is that, and almost all these guys have a different style. It's very NBA. There are 11 current quarterbacks in the NFL. They're not all the best. That if they're on, I turn the channel, and they're quarterbacking. They have the ball, I stop. Three of them are old guys. Big Ben, Breeze, and Brady. I turn the channel, they have the ball, I stop. Couple of them are middle-aged. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. Totally different games. And then the young guys. Mahomes, Kyler, Lamar, Tua, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert. They have the ball. I'm not moving the channel. Sunday, I got Tua against Kyler. I mean, that to me was like, you know, watching Goodfellas. It was like 3.5 hours of joy. 11, and I like Deshaun Watson, but he doesn't do that for me. Derek Carr I like. He doesn't do it for me. There are 11 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. If they have the ball and I'm turning the channel, I stop. That's powerful. That's what Wilt did to me. That's what Dr. J, Michael, Magic, Kobe, Shaq. James Harden does not do that for me. And it's funny. LeBron still does. Iverson did. Barkley did. But it's funny, the NFL has become the NBA. They've stolen away. I can't think of 11 guys in the NBA I stopped the TV for. Now, some of it's urgency, right? The games don't matter as much. But Kawhi Leonard, is he playing tonight? Harden's game drives me nuts. So does Westbrook's. I mean, the NBA put Giannis. This is what the league did. They put Giannis' playoff game at noon. They're telling you that people aren't interested. In fact, I found one of the most wildly entertaining teams, Miami. Miami was fun. I don't even know who the guys are. It was like Jimmy Butler and a bunch of no-names. Guys were in college an hour ago. It was fun. It's just what the NFL, and what I think the NFL is doing, and I thought about this over the weekend, is what I did as a kid. It wasn't just that the NBA had stars, but they were different. Wilt was a flake. He was flaky. And Dr. J was acrobatic. And he didn't play like anybody. And Kobe and Michael looked a little alike, but Magic didn't play anything like Barkley. And Barkley didn't play anything like Bird. And they were just all unique flavors and styles. And Russell Wilson doesn't play anything like Aaron. Breeze doesn't play anything like Lamar. Like, there's 11 different NFL quarterbacks. I stop the television. That is power. That's why those guys are going to get shoe deals and big deals. If you can get me to stop, because I bounce around. All I do Sunday is just bounce around game to game to game to game to game. You know, it's fascinating. And it's like Cam, I would put ahead of Deshaun Watson for me. Because is it the fall of Cam? Is it the end of Cam? That's kind of fascinating. I almost put Cam on the list, and I thought, he didn't quite have it. I mean, last night was a very easy game to shut off for me if I wanted to. But it is, and I'm not saying the NFL gets a lot of credit for this. It may just be quarterbacks are, you know, I said this earlier. NBA guys, high school, 1 year of college, pros. They come into the sport not ready to play, unless you're like LeBron. The high school quarterback play, because all the 7-on-7 camps, is so good
that the college quarterbacks go in the NFL, they're not only ready to play, they're ready to win. So maybe it's cultural, and the NBA doesn't deserve to get criticized for it. It's just the culture change, and the NFL doesn't deserve credit. But I tell you what, the NFL to me today feels like the Star League, and it never did my entire life. MDriveForMen.com, stay lean, eat right, supplement, take it every morning. One scoop every day as well, MDriveStart.com. Good shake at the herd.